Looking to propel your commercial real estate project forward? At Associated Bank, we've got you. With long-term relationships, expertise in your market, and prompt callbacks on inquiries. Contact a relationship manager today at associatedbank.com/CRE. Member FDIC.
We're on with Dan Barron, Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, good morning. Welcome back.
Morning, Steve. Good to see you.
I want to focus our conversation today on a bunch of projects that are happening in the Chicago area, in Chicago and suburbs that really could reshape the area. And there's really a nice list here that's been compiled. And I know we've talked about some of these in the past, but I want to get your opinion on a few of them. You know, we're lately hearing a lot about the 78, which is this tract of land in, I guess it would be the South Loop,
South Loop, right?
Along the river. There could be a soccer stadium there. The White Sox could go there. How transformative for that area would this be?
I mean, I think this is going to be massive. I mean, there's a huge empty piece of land now. I mean, you know, it's been vacant for so long that it's just part of the landscape now. I mean, if you're driving along Roosevelt, you know, heading east on Roosevelt, you look to your right and you can see just an empty pile of land. And for it to sit vacant for so long, it's kind of mind-boggling where it sits so close to the Loop, so close, kind of the gap between the Loop, Chinatown, Bridgeport, you know, the rest of the south side of the city. And it's great that it's going to finally get some life, some activation.
Yeah. I was on the architecture tour. I do the boat tour every once in a while. And, you know, you go through down the river and you see all these great buildings and all this great architecture. And then you get to that point and you're like, well, there's piles of dirt. What is this?
Everybody look the other way.
Everybody look the other way. In a few years, that could be a whole different scene.
Yeah. I mean, from the sound of it, it really will be. It'll be completely different, completely transformed and changed. I know the recent news has been Chicago Fire is going to build a stadium there. I was really hoping the White Sox would put a new Sox park there. But it sounds like the alderman only wants one stadium. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be such a great arena for a major, not to say the Chicago Fire isn't a major sport, but one of the major major leagues, to have a stadium on that site so close to the Loop, so close to the heart of the city. I think it would just be, you know, the views of downtown along the river, it could be amazing.
The White Sox owner seemed really interested in that site. I'm wondering if this is the last word on that.
I hope not. I mean, I'd be really excited to go see White Sox games there. You know, again, so close to the city, so close to the river. I mean, it would be great on a Monday night, jump on a water taxi to head to a White Sox game.
Right. Let's move on to Bronzeville, the site where the former Michael Reese Hospital used to be. I know it was a site that had been planned maybe for the Olympics, had we gotten the Olympics, but now there's some other things going there. This really hasn't been much on the radar screen. What are they planning for that area?
It's a little further away. The odd thing about a lot of these projects, and I think one that's not as commonly talked about anymore, is Lincoln Yards. A lot of the projects, the mega projects that are going on around the city, have a lot of office component. That's, I think, was the Achilles heel of Sterling Bay's Lincoln Yards. Bronzeville, the Lakefront Bronzeville project, I think there's going to be a component of office there. But I think where that's located along the lake, if you can stretch downtown a little further south, stay along the lake on the east side, it would be great. I know there was talk about the development team trying to lure the Bears to go a little further south. I think that'd be amazing. But I think it'll be transformative for that part of the city, the south side of the city, to have a bunch of new apartments, townhomes, you know, some retail. And I think they're doing, you know, incubator space. I think that'd be amazing.
This would be a whole nother neighborhood,
right,
vibrant,
right,
neighborhood for the city.
Absolutely.
One of the designers, the architect's company, everybody knows this company, Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill is involved in this. So it's probably going to be something big.
If it's SOM is involved, it's going to be grand.
Mm-hmm. We've also been reporting a lot lately about the Illinois Quantum and Microelectronics Park, this on the farther south. Talk to us a little bit about why this quantum project. I know the University of Illinois is involved, the state of Illinois is involved. What would this bring?
I think this brings a huge technological advantage to Chicago. I think this is the furthest along of any of the projects that we're kind of talking about now. There's some interest. There's been tenants that our lease have been signed. And I think people are going to be, it's going to help bring quantum computing and, you know, the ancillary benefits of that to the city.
Mm-hmm. I know this is radio, but there's a photograph of the drawing. It's sort of what everybody's envisioning. Does that look like a computer chip to you?
It kind of does look like a computer chip, right?
The layout of this place looks like a computer chip, and I know there was recently a signing. One of the companies that's involved in this just got some new funding. They're going to build a quantum computer there. Do you know what a quantum computer is?
I think it's a very large, very quick, very fast computer, but no, I'm not a... quantum physicist.
Yeah, they say that this computer could help solve problems that current computers can't solve, and this is going to create hundreds of jobs there. We hear a lot about Fulton Market, and I want to ask what's going on there. Is there more development happening there? What's one Fulton Market?
I think there's always going to be some development until they run out of land in Fulton Market. This is the former Bridgeford Food Factory. It's an entire square city block that developers are going to transform into multi-use. It's going to be a tower of apartments, mm-hmm. office, retail, restaurant space. The renderings look amazing. I think if there's one of these mega developments that actually comes through and actually succeeds and does really well and leases up well with what the original plan is, I think it's going to be one Fulton Market, because you have the draw, like we're talking about it with office. It's going to be hard to draw people to different parts of the city. Fulton Market, they've proven, is a good office destination. You can get tenants to come out of the loop and go to Fulton Market, even for rents that are higher than downtown. So I think, you know, it's the one true neighborhood in the city of Chicago that's a live, work, play destination.
There's also further expansion at O'Hare Airport. We had Mayor Johnson on this week, and he talked about how O'Hare's about ready to become the country's busiest airport again. Are you involved in any of these O'Hare plans, and what's happening out there?
I'm not involved in anything O'Hare specific or centric, but I am kind of on the ancillary outside with a lot of industrial that happens in and around O'Hare because of the amount of cargo that runs in and out of O'Hare. I think it's, if not the top one or two, it's probably in the top three of world cargo carriers. But I think this is more centered on passenger traffic, and I think this is amazing for the city. I mean, if really, when you think about it, O'Hare is the front door to the city of Chicago, especially if you're coming in from overseas. So if you can build a world-class international airport, you're going to show that you're a world-class city. And I think this does wonders for tourism and, you know, commerce in and around the city if you have a beautiful, you know, brand new front door.
The O'Hare 21 expansion, as it's called, is about a $12 billion transformation at O'Hare. There's something going on in the suburbs, lots of things going on in the suburbs, but the one I want to highlight is in Hoffman Estates. This is on the former AT&T campus. It's called Bellworks Chicagoland. What is that?
So this is going to be another one of the, I think they're trying to create an ecosystem, almost like a miniature city in the suburbs, right? If you're out in Hoffman Estates, say, or if you're in the Northwest Side, and that's going to be your location, your 9 to 5, your Monday through Friday, they want to make that an entire ecosystem where you can, again, live, work, play all in the same campus. I think it's an amazing idea. The renderings look great. There's been a lot of office leasing that started there, and a lot of retail and restaurants. So I think there's a lot of momentum, and I think it's amazing for the Northwest suburbs to have a big demand driver like Bellworks.
Yeah, we're going to keep following this development in Hoffman Estates. After going through this list, it kind of brings up this question of the job you do on a daily basis. You help these different projects get funding, and that sort of, there's money available for these projects. That's the headline, right?
You know, and luckily it seems like interest rates are going to start coming down, so deals are going to start to be able to become easier to finance, a lot easier for developers to start penciling deals and actually make money and be able to transact and then hopefully stabilize and sell. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of dry powder, especially with outside investors. I know with banks, insurance companies, debt funds, funding sources are all available, for some of these developments that are going to really reshape, like we've been talking about, the face of the city.
And Dan, I want to focus a little bit now on two different markets. One's the rental market, one's the industrial market. I know these are things you follow closely. The industrial market, there's a lot of expansion that's been going on. We talked about this in the past. It's still going on. Is that space being utilized? That's being built?
It is. It is. A lot fewer space has been delivered recently, but I think that's kind of the cyclical nature of real estate, right? I mean, between 2018 and 2022, let's call it, was some the most prolific development deliveries of industrial real estate in this city's history. It's been, you know, amazing to watch the cost and the rent just continue to creep up. It's almost for the rent to increase and cost to increase as much as they have. It's almost like we're on the coast. Usually in the Midwest, we don't see huge fluctuations in rent, but we've seen that over the last 5 or so years. But the nice thing is deliveries are starting to slow now because in the last 12 to 24 months, construction costs have spiked, interest rates have spiked. So developers aren't able to pencil these deals. So they're going to sit on the sidelines a little bit. They're not going to do a crazy deal where they can't get a tenant to pay $16, $18 a foot to move into their let's call it a speculative building. They're not going to be able to find somebody to come in for the rent they need to be able to turn a profit. So I think it's the cyclical nature. A lot of that vacant space that's sitting, it's been sitting in for not longer than, I'd say, 12 to 18 months, which is not completely abnormal. That was what the world looked like 5 years ago. But post-COVID, we were in a kind of a fantasy world where, I mean, you put a shovel in the ground if you're an industrial building and you have, you know, three people knocking on your door say, I want to rent that space. But, you know, the times have changed. But luckily, I don't think there's been overbuilding. I think it's vacancy rates are still below double digits. And I think you're still going to be able to absorb that space. But now, you know, once that vacancy rate comes down a little bit, then we'll have some slightly a new steady stream of new buildings come in. And, you know, frankly, with the land in and around Chicago, we're kind of landlocked. We don't have the luxury of, you know, going expanding so far west or south or north. I think you're going to take older obsolete buildings. Developers will take old obsolete buildings, knock them down and rebuild. So there's not going to be huge fluctuations in, vacancy because you're taking obsolete buildings and replacing them with something more modern and something that's more functional for existing or current tenants.
What has to happen with the economy, especially the local economy, to get some of those vacancy rates higher and bring those rents down? Or are we going to see them elevated?
No, I think rents are stabilizing. I mean, they've been stabilizing for the last, I'd say, year or so. It's just you're going to take a lot of these tenants or prospective tenants. They take a little time. They're larger companies. I mean, if you're going to take a 200,000 square foot building all to yourself, I mean, you're a large company, and with all the uncertainty with tariffs, especially around industrial in and around O'Hare, you're importing goods from other countries. So you're going to make prudent decisions. You're going to have to review all your options, and you're going to find the best fit for your company at the best time. So if that takes a little longer, it takes a little longer, but I think buildings will still absorb. The world-class buildings that are being built in and around the city, people want to make sure it's the right fit, because if you move into a building, you know, I say, I'm going to take 100,000 square feet of this 200,000 square foot building, but maybe in 3 years, I might need to expand into the rest of the building. Well, guess what? The last 12 months, the landlord leased the other half, and now you're looking for a different building, but you have 4 years left on your lease. So it's a big decision that users really have to take carefully or make carefully. Because that could mean life or death for their company.
Yeah, it's not a decision that I'd like to be responsible for. and then residential rents. I saw this report that since April, 4,200 apartment units across 13 properties hit the market in downtown Chicago. Talk to us about what that's doing to residential rents, but also that seems like a high number.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very high number. Rents have been going, like I was mentioning earlier, with industrial over the last couple of years. We're now in the middle of this for multifamily, right? Like there's been so few supply because of the spike in construction costs, the spike in interest rates, nobody's developing. So you have less of a supply, the demand's going to go up, rent's going to go up. So with the lack of new buildings coming online, existing landlords can, I mean, you're in the landlord's market. I mean, you know, renters are unfortunately in the driver or in the passenger seat in this scenario. And landlords have the luxury of being able to raise rents to compensate for the higher interest rates. You know, and now a lot of these buildings are, they're full for, you know, really above what their developer was hoping to get in terms of rent. So now a lot of them are starting to trade. A lot of outside money is coming into the city to come in and buy some of these buildings because they're so full and there's so few lack of, or there's such a lack of forward-facing development that's going on right now.
Rents for Class A buildings, those are the real high-end buildings, climbed 6.5% year over year in the second quarter. One bedroom apartment now averages $2,800 per month. Chicago ranks number two in rent growth nationally. Who are the people that are affording those rents, first of all, and how high can it go?
You know, it's difficult to understand or imagine who it is. You know, in my world, when I was coming out of college, moving into the city, it was, you know, let's find something where three and four of my friends can all share, and we're going to share that
$300 a month.
Exactly. You know, it's the white collar job, a kid who comes out of school and maybe is an attorney, or a high paying job who's able to afford a one bedroom, and you know, someone who can, you know, really understand and pay for that kind of freight.
Yeah, that speaks well to the availability of those jobs locally.
Right. Yeah. And you know, but I mean, Chicago historically has never been a 5 to 6% rent growth market. It's a 1 or 2%, and for this kind of jump for landlords to be able to really hang their hats on. Hopefully with interest rates now starting into a decreasing environment, maybe we'll get more development and we'll see some downward pressure on rents.
Dan, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Thanks, Steve. I'm always available via email, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com, or my phone, 312-544-4657.
All right, Dan, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Steve.